This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
We all need hope. Humans have an extraordinary capacity to battle through adversity, but only if they have something to cling on to, a belief or hope that one day things will be better. This is the notion behind The Great Realization, a sweet, heartfelt poem Thomas Roberts wrote for his younger brother and sister in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Just a few weeks after launching a YouTube channel, Thomas posted a video of his poem, which quickly became an online sensation, receiving nearly 70 million views on YouTube. And now The Great Realization is a beautifully illustrated children's book, reminding young readers that a better tomorrow lies ahead. Poet Thomas Roberts, our guest, next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast and beyond. This Week in America, the sweet, heartfelt poem, The Great Realization, was written by Thomas Roberts to provide comfort for his younger brother and sister, both seven, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Thomas had just launched a YouTube channel and decided to post a video of his poem. Well, it quickly became an online sensation, viewed by more than 60 million people, worldwide media attention, praise from Hollywood celebrities including Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Khloe Kardashian, and Jake Gyllenhaal. And now, The Great Realization is a beautifully illustrated children's book, reminding young readers and all of us that a better tomorrow lies ahead. The Today Show recently selected The Great Realization as a book to ease kids' anxiety about coronavirus. Thomas Roberts is a 26-year-old spoken word poet, performer, and filmmaker, called a modern poet with a brilliant mind and a kind heart. Born in New Zealand to Welsh parents, now living in London, The Great Realization's message of hope and resilience has captured hearts of children and adults all over the world, and author Thomas Roberts is our guest on This Week in America. Thomas, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
That was a lovely introduction. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a lovely poem that has touched so many people, and I hate to really call it a children's poem or a children's book because we can get so much inspiration and hope out of what you wrote in The Great Realization. Let's go back to how this project began. What was the idea behind the poem, and any idea when you started it would turn into this international media sensation?
Well, I had absolutely no idea whatsoever. It all came about because I've been working as a freelance filmmaker, and I was working for a big company, and I was making the videos that went on their Instagram account. And when lockdown hit, my job just vanished. You know, it wasn't even that I got fired. It just ceased to exist.
Yes.
So I moved back in with my dad, my little brother and sister. My dad is an epidemiologist, but he was called back to work in the hospitals in the UK. So really, you know, all day I was looking after these two little guys, and they have so many questions, you know, and I'm was supposed to be the adult with the answers, even though I think so many of us don't have answers in this strange year. And so, you know, I started the channel really as a way of giving us projects that could keep our mind occupied, and also a way of hopefully feeling useful, you know, in our community, because I think the medical professionals are, you know, the heroes of this time, but I also really didn't want to feel like the creative people, you know, just had to sit back and wait for all of this to blow over. You know, I really thought that if there was anything I could do that was useful, it was worth doing. And so we started making these videos, and this one was based on a strong feeling that I had that I didn't want to wish for things to go back to normal. I think we can do better than that. You know, I was instead hoping we could use how disruptive this time is to improve a lot of things.
You know, what's fascinating about it is in the beginning you talk about the world that you lived in. You're talking to your younger brother, 7-year-old brother, is actually with you on the video that you've done. This poem is so well thought out. It is so well constructed. It is so well presented. How long did it take you to form these thoughts? It's almost sort of like this was bubbling up inside you for a while, and here was an outlet for you to sort of explain where you think the world has gone, and hey, maybe we can find a silver lining and take it in a different direction.
No, you're completely right. I've been feeling these things for a very long time, and I believe very strongly that many people have been feeling this way, but I think, you know, we're so busy, you know, so frequently, and it's really difficult, I suppose, to step back and analyze a situation, because, you know, we've got meetings and we've got social lives and we've got, you know, familial responsibilities and all of these things. And suddenly there was this moment in time where, you know, from my perspective, it seemed like everything stopped, you know, and all of the, you know, all of the busyness that occupies so much of our lives was kind of pulled away for a moment, and, you know, we were able to reflect and to analyze. And so it was really in this moment that I started to, I think, become very conscious about, you know, the things that I wanted to put right, and maybe I don't have the power to put them right on my own, but the things that I wanted to talk about, and also the things you know, that I'm incredibly grateful for, you know, that are prevalent in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, the poem was an attempt to distill all of those things into a three minute story.
Well, it was perfect. It captures your attention. You were talking in an interview about maybe sort of allow all of us to rejig, to sort of refocus on where we want to go. And that's a perfect description of where we are and if we can take advantage of that. Thomas Roberts, our guest on the program, poet, filmmaker, his heartfelt poem, The Great Realization, a hopeful tale of a post-COVID-19 world, now a beautifully illustrated children's book. It's available wherever books are sold. You look back to where we were and where we're going, and it's interesting. You talk about the government's shutting us down. You do it in a very poetic way. And you say, but while we were all hidden amidst the fear, and all the while the people dusted off their instincts, they remembered how to smile. Talk about that, because we can really dig down deep, can't we, when we have to, as people, to survive, to exist.
Incredibly, incredibly so. I think people are deeply, deeply resilient, and I think people can weather incredibly difficult moments in time and incredibly difficult periods. And I think people just need a little shred of hope, you know. I think people need something to look forward to. And when, you know, when populations are starved of that for too long, it can really, you know, it can really start to feel like, you know, fear and anxiety, yes, are like this cloud that are hanging over all of us. And I really think instinct, you know, we have these instincts, which are, you know, that of, I believe, that of community and that of caring for one another and that of being useful and taking responsibility and all of these things. And I think, you know, sometimes it takes a moment like this to remind us of those things. And, you know, I wish it didn't, but that seems to be how it appears to me, at least.
Well, you talk, and it's pointed out in the poem, The Great Realization, now a children's book, illustrated, beautifully illustrated. You'll find the book wherever books are sold. You talk about hope and fear being sort of self-fulfilling prophecies. If we think we should be fearful, we will be fearful. If we think there's hope, maybe we'll find hope at some point. I love in the poem you go, and so when we found the cure and we're allowed to go outside, we all prefer the world we found to the one we left behind. Old habits became extinct and they made way for new, and every simple act of kindness was now its given due. Do you think maybe we will actually find this coming out of that happiness, that peacefulness? Do you think maybe we can all find this coming out of this terrible situation?
You know, I hope so. I really think that it's for all of the difficulties that have come with it, and I'm not blind to those, you know, to those things. I'm not naive to how much suffering this moment has brought forward. But for all of these things, I think people are also noticing things. You know, they're, you know, certainly, you know, certainly in my family, I've actually never spent as much time interacting with my little brother and sister as I have done in the past 7 months, you know, and they've been alive for 7 years. And I think that it's very easy to get caught up in your own sense of self-importance, and I'm guilty of that so frequently. And I think what this period has done for me, you know, in particularly, is it forced me to take a little bit of responsibility, and it forced me to, you know, look beyond my own self-interest and actually, you know, be responsible for the happiness of, you know, these two little people. And then, you know, with what's happened with the poem, with my slightly wider community. And I think people really need that. And I think if people, you know, voluntarily adopt responsibility, I think that's where you find the meaning in your life. I really, really believe that. I don't think you find much meaning in your life when you're living purely for yourself. And that's what I'm kind of talking about in that line, about preferring the world you find to the one you left behind. You know, it'll be the same world, but you'll look at it in a different way, I think.
This is where art can be there out front as a leader, and Thomas is with his poem, The Great Realization, now the beautifully illustrated children's book, which is available wherever books are sold. A couple minutes left. I'm going by too quickly. I want to talk about, once you posted the YouTube, did you have any idea this was going to go viral, certainly to the extent, what were your expectations and the reaction when suddenly you read Khloe Kardashian and Jennifer Aniston really love what you're doing?
Well, I have to tell you truthfully, I had no such expectations. I think I would be fairly deluded if I had. No, I ultimately, you know, you make work, and I think this is true of, you know, so many people that creatively make work and express themselves. I think we hope, you know, we hope that our, I like to think that it's not about the ego. I like to think that we hope that our work can be useful to other people, you know, and having lots of people watch something that you've created and send positive feedback, you know, gives you a sense of, okay, you know, in that moment, you know, my thoughts and ideas were useful to someone else. And I think that's a really, you know, a really humbling feeling. In terms of, you know, Jennifer Aniston and Khloe Kardashian, I think there are certain individuals in this world that we all hold on these pedestals, you know, and we all look at them and kind of revere them almost because of the work they've done. And I think when those people make you aware that they're aware of your work. I think it's really difficult to get your head around that. But obviously, I'm very thankful and grateful about that.
You know, it's interesting. You do the video. It becomes a viral sensation, viewed millions of times. So you're riding that wave, probably thinking, okay, this is going to be fun, but this will end at some point. And then I got about 2 minutes left here. The book deal comes about, and now it's like starting all over again with this worldwide, beautifully done book. How did the book happen?
Well, I was very lucky, you know, because of the amount of people that viewed the video. Many publishers reached out to me, and one such publisher was HarperCollins, who, you know, have published so many books that have been so useful to me in my life. So I was thrilled to be able to work with them, and we worked with this incredible Japanese illustrator, Nomoko, who treads this line between literal and abstract, I think, in such a gorgeous way, you know, and she told the story through color and through imagery, and it's been a very busy 3 months, but now I have physical, you know, memento of the time that is, as you kindly said, which is available in many, many places, and so I hope people can enjoy this.
And you can also get information at Thomas's website, which is probably tomfullery.com. We'll have that up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and see what else he's doing. Now, you've got a screenplay. I mentioned a filmmaker, a screenplay you're working on. This is about a poet who becomes famous overnight, and you're going to tell me you were working on this before you became a poet that became famous overnight.
The world has an incredible
Yeah, isn't it?
I've been trying to make it as a filmmaker, and I've always been interested in poetry. So I'd written a screenplay about, a poet and his manager mate who moved to the big city and become a hit. And I didn't know what was going to happen with the screenplay. And then something far more interesting has happened with it. You know, I feel like it's become more of a documentary. It's been very ironic.
And hopefully we'll see that soon. And if you're a young filmmaker out there, I guess the Thomas's lesson, rule number one, is write a poem first, and then everything else will fall into place after that. Thomas, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the program, talking about the great realization, started as a poem, a YouTube sensation, and now an illustrated children's book available wherever books are sold. Thomas, congratulations on the success. Really a job well done. You've got all of us thinking about what lies ahead, and it's not all that bleak if you look at it through the proper lenses. Thank you for sharing some time with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Thomas Roberts, author of The Great Realization, children's book now available wherever books are sold. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt. Call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306.
800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A secret society, a deadly plot, a president in peril, and it all really happened. The best-selling authors of The First Conspiracy are back with a highly anticipated, little-known, but true story about a failed assassination attempt on President Lincoln. The Lincoln Conspiracy, the secret plot to kill America's 16th president and why it failed, by Brad Meltzer and Josh Mensch. Hollywood Reporter has named Brad one of the 25 most powerful authors in Hollywood, and it's easy to see why. Number one best-selling author of 12 New York Times thrillers, nonfiction books like The First Conspiracy about a secret plot to kill George Washington, and The Ordinary People Changed the World kids book series. Brad is one of the only authors to ever have books on the bestseller list for fiction, nonfiction, advice, children's books, even comic books, winner of the prestigious Eisner Award. TV creator, personality, he helped find the missing 9/11 flag that firefighters raised at Ground Zero. Brad Meltzer, author of The Lincoln Conspiracy, now available, is our guest on This Week in America. Brad, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is such a fascinating story. Let's go back. The story begins February 1861. A train traveling from Philadelphia to Baltimore, but so much about this seemingly ordinary train is not as it seems. Talk about the secret that's on that train.
Yeah, so we all know the story of John Wilkes Booth ending Lincoln's presidency. This is the story of the first secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln at the very start. And in the middle of the night, as you said, there's a train. And on that train, lots of passengers, but there's four that we're focused on. One of them, two of them are businessmen. One is a woman, and she has an invalid brother, but none of them are who they say they are. One of the businessmen is a man named Alan Pinkerton, head of the Pinkerton Detective Agency, one of America's most famous private eyes. The woman is Kate Warren. She is America's first female private eye, and her so-called brother is not her brother at all. He's certainly not an invalid. That's Abraham Lincoln. He's actually, they've given him a code name, they've given him a disguise and put him in disguise, and they are whisking him away in the middle of the night from the secret society that is plotting to murder him. And this is not fiction. This all really happened as Abraham Lincoln was going to be sworn in, yes, as the 16th president. And I can tell you, that's chapter one of the book. That's a little, I just ruined chapter one of the conspiracy. But there's the opening scene.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You can find out who these people are, why they were attempting to do this. What's really fascinating is I thought we knew just about everything about Abraham Lincoln. He's been much wrote about, especially in recent years, much has been written about him. How did you find out about this conspiracy?
You know, I first heard the story years ago, but I only knew the outer edges of it, you know, kind of like having the corner and side pieces of your puzzle. I didn't have the full picture. And what I loved about the story was, one, I'd never heard it. And it's the reason is why. Why do we not know this story? And the story took place, it's because of when it happened. As Lincoln was getting ready to be sworn in as the 16th president, to be sworn in, he had to go and take a train from his home in Springfield, Illinois, to Washington, D.C. And to do that, you have to go through Baltimore. Maryland at the time was a slave state. So the plot by the secret society was very simple. They were going to kill Lincoln when he came through Baltimore, ending his presidency before it began. But the reason you don't know it is because guess what happens right after? Civil War breaks out. And 4 years after that, Lincoln gets shot in the head. And this story of the secret plot to originally kill him becomes a footnote to history. And Josh mentioned my co-writer, he and I just threw ourselves into this and loved pulling out these amazing details.
In the prologue, you say it's the story of a moral crisis in America, so profound our nation was almost destroyed by it, and its aftermath still being grappled with today. A lot there, but these were tumultuous times, weren't they? As Lincoln was about to be sworn in, the country was divided.
And that's why we took on the story. You know, it's very titillating to say, here's the secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And I love that part of the book. But what I also love, and we decided the reason we picked the story, is it let us tell the fuller context. America at the time was fracturing into two. Literally, whatever side you were on, you hated the other side. You thought the other side were complete, utter, horrible people. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yep.
That's exactly where the country is today, right? You can't avoid it. And what we wanted to write about is what great leaders do in that situation. Abraham Lincoln comes in and he doesn't divide us further, he unites us. And I think for us, the other part was seeing, you know, we all know Abraham Lincoln as this amazing person who, of course, frees the slaves, wins the war, but that's at the end of his presidency. The plot to kill him at the start of his presidency shows a very different Lincoln, where he's learning and he's figuring it out, he's making mistakes, they lose the inaugural address, he's so new at this. And he's nervous, and you know, when he's told that he wins the presidency, you know what he's doing? He's on the back of his building playing handball of all things. And I love the fact that we see him like that. You know, what we do with our heroes today in America is we build grand statues of them and we worship at their feet and we do them a huge disservice. Because what we're doing is we're saying they're not like us. And they're exactly like us. When you see Abraham Lincoln here, he's not perfect in every way. And he reminds us that all of us are amazing and we're terrified and we're brave and we're cowards. Some of us all in the same day, some of us all in the same few minutes. And that's not a bad thing. It means we're human. And I love the fact that you can get that inspiration when you read The Lincoln Conspiracy.
You mentioned Alan Pinkerton, who literally gave us the name Private Eye based on his logo. We find that out in reading the book. And Kate Warren, you talk about her as sort of your hero coming out of this book. She was America's first female private detective, and this is back in 1861.
Yeah, this is right at the start. She's 26 years old when she first gets hired. She walks into Alan Pinkerton's detective agency, 26-year-old woman, widower, no kids, has to support her family, says, I want a job. And Alan Pinkerton, no one is hiring women as investigators, much less in law enforcement at the time. But Alan Pinkerton, God bless him, looks at this woman and says, you know, people are going to talk to her in ways they're never going to talk to me, and brings her aboard, brings another woman aboard after that, really at the cutting edge of this. And Kate Warren is one of the women who comes in and works on the plot to save Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, I know people love this for Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I love the fact that everyone has someone to root for in this book. You know, there's like these.
Yes.
And Kate Warren just becomes a superhero. And one of my favorite scenes is when they have to go and tell Abraham Lincoln there's a murder plot to kill him. And the Pinkertons go, they knock on his hotel room door and they say, sir, you know, there's this plot that we think, you know, we need to get you out of here. And we know you have an event in Philadelphia tomorrow, they tell Lincoln. But you should skip the event in Philadelphia. Let us get you out of here fast, or we'll save your life. Lincoln says no. You want to know why? Because in Philadelphia the next day, he doesn't want to miss his event. Because the next day, what they're doing, and Lincoln's supposed to be in Philadelphia for, is honoring one of his heroes, a man named George Washington. And in that moment, I love the fact that he wants to do it just for George Washington. We actually found the original speech that Lincoln gives that day.
Amazing.
And in the speech, he says, as a country, we should stand together, or you might as well assassinate me. And he says it in the context of knowing there's a plot to kill him.
Brad Meltzer has been our guest on the program. The book is the highly anticipated The Lincoln Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill America's 16th President and Why It Failed. Available wherever books are sold. Brad's website is bradmeltzer.com. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.